AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Two of the four Americans kidnapped in Mexico have been found dead, and two others are alive and back in the U.S. Reporter Chris Fox in Austin.
Mexican officials believe cartel members mistakenly identified the four Americans as Haitian smugglers as they drove into Matamoros from Brownsville, Texas, Friday for a medical procedure. They were kidnapped after a gunfight. Now, according to the governor of the state of Tamaulipas, Americo Villarreal, one of the surviving U.S. citizens, was wounded. The other is okay.
Mexican authorities say they have one person in custody. After back-to-back snowstorms, parts of California are now looking at heavy rain in the forecast and concerns about flooding. Nevada County emergency crews are working to clear roads and storm drains of snow and ice. KOVR-TV's Madison Keevy reports that some homes and businesses are without power.
The weight of snow on trees has toppled them into power lines. Many of the issues are tough to access due to snow and the size of some of the fallen trees. For businesses like Grass Valley Pasty Co., a few days without power meant they lost perishable ingredients and what would have been money to pay their employees. The reason they gave online for the delay, PG&E couldn't access the affected equipment.
There has been a few eyedrop recalls over recent weeks, including one by the FDA for PharMedica USA. More from CBS's Matt Piper.
Recall notices are warning people that the product is non-sterile, meaning it may contain germs and bacteria. And that, says Mount Sinai, New York Eye Doctor Neha Sheikh, says can lead to even more problems.
It can actually go through your tear ducts into the nose or the mucosa or the rest of the part of the body, and that can lead to other type of infection.
Five people have been permanently blinded linked to recalled drops. Matt Piper, CBS News.
If your child is a high school athlete, a study shows the number of head and neck injuries is climbing. CBS's Steve Futterman with details.
Head and face injuries, which include concussions, are the most common. After that, ankle and knee injuries. While the overall number of injuries has decreased, head and neck injuries are going in the opposite direction, and the severity of injuries is also on the rise.
With security concerns over apps like TikTok, Democratic Senator Mark Warner of Virginia is co-sponsoring legislation that would give the federal government the authority to tighten controls over companies that operate within hostile foreign countries and collect the personal data of Americans.
We need a more comprehensive approach to evaluating and mitigating these threats.
Republican Senator John Thune is also a co-sponsor. Oklahoma votes no on a recreational marijuana plan. It joins other conservative states that have rejected full legalization. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hear that? If you own a business, that's a problem. What you really need is this. If you want to make your phone ring this spring, we have just the thing. Sponsor weather forecasts on your local Civic Media station. We've slashed prices on our premium weather sponsorships up to 50%. Tie your business message and phone number into our hourly weather forecasts and get results. But you must hurry.
This spectacular offer ends March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold,
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Monday mornings at 8 on The Shaw and on the Civic Media app.
It's not- Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation with I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
As goes Wisconsin.
What is dedication?
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
You'd think, as a staffer who's aware of the media, you maybe wouldn't serve your state senator up on a platter.
Scobity boo boo. Scobity doo.
What? Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Happy Tuesday, March 7th. I am Kristen Bry here with Jane Matinair to kick off a very beautiful day.
It is. It's a lovely day.
I didn't realize how much I needed the sun. It feels like it's been a while since we had, what is it? It's like almost 40 and actual sun shining.
It makes an enormous amount of difference.
And no wind, seemingly.
No, it's windy.
Is it?
It's a little, the wind
I got out of the car, I was like, I could maybe go for a long walk later
A walk is doable.
I try to do a long walk. I'm trying to do more walks. How are your walks going?
Yeah, not good.
Okay, yeah, same. I just recharged my iWatch, and I set the goal of trying to hit 400 active calories. For context, when I was getting ready for my wedding, it was at 800.
Oh my gosh!
So if I can hit 4,
that would be good.
Whew, but yeah, it's been a slow winter in the gym. But maybe now that it's nice out, we'll actually get outside and get some exercise. All right. Well, coming up today, we actually have a lot of guests today, which is really exciting. So in the noon hour, so starting off at 12 o'clock, we are going to be talking to Chelsea Chandler and Paul Mathewson, who are both from Clean Wisconsin, on a new report that they put out January. That's still new.
Yeah.
Aptly titled, Corn Ethanol versus Solar Land Use Comparison, which is a little very straight to the point. But basically what they found is that if we offset or swapped some of our, like, we have like a million acres of corn fields in Wisconsin.
Right.
A lot of which goes to ethanol. If we just used even a fraction of that towards solar, it would actually be much more energy efficient. So they're going to come and talk more about that and kind of the differences between ethanol energy and solar energy and how farmers could still make money and yada, 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 all that. And then at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Tanya Atkinson, who is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, and Dr. Schaefer, who is a urologist at Planned Parenthood. Because we talked about this when they first launched it last month, but now, because of the increasing popularity of the procedure, Planned Parenthood offers vasectomies. And we thought we'd, debunk some misconceptions,
superstitions,
some myths, maybe quell some of your fears for the men out there who are on the fence of whether or not they think this would be for them. And just kind of talk about the things that, all the things that I like talking about that make other people uncomfortable, but are like actual anatomy.
Well, it is a body. Yes,
it is.
It is a body.
It is a body. Yeah. And then in this hour, we're going to be joined by Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. He just wrapped up his show, but on the Civic Media Network. But he is going to join us because you, Jane, thought your first reaction to Janet Protasiewicz only agreeing to do one debate was that it's not a good look.
It's a mistake.
And so I think he disagrees with you. So I think we're going to have a discussion as far as What role do debates still play in elections?
I mean, do we actually learn anything new?
Exactly.
Is that's the question?
Well, yeah. And so that's coming up at 11:30. But to start, I was going to talk about this yesterday, and then too many competing stories. But let me start with an anecdote. So my father-in-law lives in Muskego. My father-in-law and mother-in-law. And they love Muskego. He's lived there almost his entire life. And the running joke in our family, that family thread between my husband, Mike, his two sisters, his sister's husband, is whenever anything goes wrong in Milwaukee, my father-in-law goes, you know where that doesn't happen? Muskego.
Okay.
Whether it's crime or reckless driving, right, or even as silly as like snow, when it snows in Milwaukee and it doesn't snow in Muskego. So it's a joke. But I've made it very clear, I have no interest in living in Muskego. I'm sure it's lovely when
it is.
We go
it's
there. I am a city girl. I like more dense environments. I also like diversity. Like, very plainly stated, I want my kids to go to diverse schools. I like being around people who are not necessarily like me. I think it's an enriching experience to be able to not, like, I just don't, I think homogeny is
kind of boring.
Inferior to diversity. And then you hear a story like this, and you're like, see? Because over the weekend, Beloit High School boys basketball played at Muskego High School. And quote, for this is that one of the headlines that's been put out since, disturbing racist speech images reported at Muskego High School basketball game. And it doesn't sound good.
No, it's not.
So Muskego Norway Schools and Muskego Police are investigating claims that Muskego High School students organized a racist theme within their student section and drew racial slurs and images into the dust of the visiting team's locker room before a basketball game against Beloit Memorial High School. So Muskego High School was notified of the alleged racism by Beloit Memorial's athletic director after the playoff game on March 3rd. And the Beloit basketball players said that the N-word and swastikas were traced into the dust into the guest team's locker room. And, you know, potentially there is an argument that maybe it was there before they were going to play Beloit. I don't know how they're going to prove that or disprove that. But the thing, because this happened, I feel like this happens once a year at some school where someone makes the decision that it's appropriate to dress in a certain way and go to the game. And then those kids are allowed to go into the game. Because there was, and you can see video of it. There's a whole slew of kids who wore tank tops and ski masks.
Ski masks.
I don't know.
What was
a thug theme.
Nice.
And there was parents who reported that they also heard racist remarks coming from the student section during the game, including monkey noises. And it's so, and so now there is an investigation. But a reminder that Muskego's minority enrollment is 11%, with less than 1% of students in Muskego's school district. This is the whole district, not even just the high school, that's black. And in Beloit, it's around, the minorities are over 60%, with 21% being black. So it's a much more diverse part of the city and the state.
Right.
And what's unfortunate, maybe not surprising, but unfortunate, is that from this incident, this is from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there's been people going on social media who are people of color who went to Muskego who are saying, yeah, nothing's changed.
It was like this when I was there.
I was bullied. I had racial slurs said to me while I was going to that school, and the administration did nothing.
We have Ann on the line who wants to check in on this. What do you want to say, Ann?
Sure. So thanks for having me on, Kristen.
Hi, Ann.
So Hi, Kristen. So I am a Muskego parent, Muskego resident. So I just want to first extend a sincere apology to the entire Beloit community on behalf of people in Muskego, like Kristen, who believe in diversity and inclusivity. So that, I mean, without caveats or explainers, what happened was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's important, and Kristen I know sees this, that this is a symptom of a larger issue. And in Muskego specifically, a larger systemic culture issue in our district and in our community, which is evident by the fact that this isn't the first time that Kristen and I have talked on mm-hmm. her show. So what we're talking about here is a system that still uses discriminatory iconography in their sports programming. We could start there, right? They use a slogan, "Fear the Spear," for crying out loud. I mean, this is not the beacon of inclusivity and diversity here in Muskego. So I just want to say we have micro and macro issues, right? Microaggressions and plenty of instances of sort of racial discrimination. But the culture here starts at the top.
Hmm.
So we have a school board that consistently and without fail continues to push discriminatory policies. This is the same school board that blocked the teaching of Julio Tsukas when the emperor was divine. This is the same school board that just passed a so-called pronoun policy requiring parental permission for our trans and non-binary students, and multiple board members who ran on anti-critical race theory platforms. And I think this is the administration that has refused to take a stand against any of this. So importantly, these are the very real consequences of the culture that has been allowed to fester here without meaningful pushback.
And I just want to clarify that that book that you mentioned is about the Japanese internment camps, correct?
Correct, correct. And so that just happened last May. The pronoun policy was just passed in January. And so I think, and I know, the district has a clear legal obligation here to plan for meaningful change if they're aware that there's a pervasive problem.
And oh, go ahead, Dan.
Go ahead.
We only have about a minute, but I just wanted to ask, like, what? Because that was going to be my next question: is what having like an assembly, having like one assembly talking about racism one afternoon isn't going to solve this? And so, where is the conversation as far as depending on what the investigation finds? But if the investigation finds what the videos show,
right,
what happens?
Well, so that's my question. And I talked to the superintendent yesterday, and my questions are, where is the system change going to be? What are our long-term plans, right? Beyond the kinds of consequences for these specific students, how are we going to ensure that this doesn't happen again and that they don't have any answers?
They don't?
No.
Great.
Not at this point, because there is no plan to create systemic change in this community.
Anne, thank you so much for the call. Feel free to call. We're going to keep talking about this on the other side of the break. If you have feelings, thoughts about this, or something similar that's happening in your school district, 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
To really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 a.m. 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Dad, I picked up your pills, made your lunch, and your laundry is done.
When you care for a loved one, you take care of everything. But are you taking care of yourself? Find free care guides at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $199 a week, this sponsorship is designed to make your phones ring.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast skies overnight with lows around 29. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 41. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 31. 5 to 10 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. We are taking any thoughts you might have or reflections you have on your own community, because I don't think this is
particular to Muskego.
I don't think it's particular. This instance of what happened over the weekend at this basketball game obviously is unique. But I feel like once a year there's one of these stories where students think it's a good idea to dress a certain way or chant a certain thing and
show up for high school graduation photos.
Yes, and then there is a conversation around what the ramifications should be. But as Anne said in the previous, when she, the caller who lives in Muskego, who's a parent there, is that that's a Band-Aid and reactionary. And this is why diversity and inclusion is important to teach in schools. And we're not talking about CRT as an academic level. We're talking about what it's to actually teach empathy and understanding instead of banning books on Japanese internment camps. Like, what is the pressing priority here? You said we had a text?
We do.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Anytime you want to share a comment or give us a call. This from the 262, because we had mentioned that a lot of the students in the student section at this game were wearing sleeveless t-shirts, which we used to call wife beaters, and ski masks. And the texter from the 262 says ski masks are a Proud Boys thing.
No, really?
I did not know that.
I have to say I don't know a ton about the Proud Boys. Not done a lot of research into what their symbolism and typical attire tends to be, but I just, even if it's as simple as shaming people into, this is like, because it's one thing to really get to the core of someone's belief system, to get them to understand you can't act like this. You can't make monkey noises at black athletes. It's another thing to at least, even if they want to do it, shame them so much that they don't.
And I think there is a large segment of our population who no longer feels any shame.
I know.
It just doesn't, instead of being shamed, it is accepted now as a badge of honor.
Yeah. And the idea, well, and we didn't, because Anne had called, but this was some of the, as far as this being not necessarily an isolated incident, and it going higher than just some kids. And it makes me think of when we go back to what happened in Keele, Wisconsin last year, that the initial story that was released and peddled around to right-wing media was, oh, these eighth grade boys used the wrong pronoun and now there's a Title IX investigation. When in fact, the kid had been bullied and food had been thrown at him and they had pushed them around and that part of the story didn't happen, and the administration hadn't done anything. And then you dug a little bit deeper, and the year prior to that, a black student had been harassed so much that he felt not welcome in his own high school. And so going back to Muskego, this was from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. There was one quote of someone who posted on social media. Since I was a student from 2013 to 2017, the administration has never given an F about the minority students, and clearly nothing has changed. You'd think by 2023, they'd educate their students rather than feed into the BS. Then a different student, a different former student, wrote, nothing was done when I was being continuously harassed and called racial slurs in the hallways to class every morning, says a 2016 MHS graduate who asked to remain anonymous. And so it's like, this is the issue you need to be talking about at your school board meetings. Not pronouns, not banning books.
Right.
Because those are problems in search of a solutions in search of a problem versus an obvious problem that is sitting right in front of you right now. And yet, apparently, anecdotally, from one parent trying to talk to the superintendent, no plan. No plan to deal with it. No plan to address it. Just a statement, a blanket statement released. They're looking into it. And the news cycle will move on. And then what? It's... And this is what we're talking about, right?
We have Dave on the line from the Shaw who wants to check in on this. Dave, what do you want to say?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to share... I grew up in a place just like... kind of like what the last caller was talking about in Muskego. So I grew up in Kentucky in a very homogenous... Kind of that middle class... to upper class neighborhood. And I think it was really easy, looking in retrospect, to see, like, it's easy to fall into the trap of racism and not know. It's almost like an ignorance, right? The fact that I didn't know it was racism at the time. And once I left Kentucky and I went and saw the world a bit and lived in Baltimore and the inner city there and befriended people who didn't look like me or talk like me or act like me. Like, it wasn't until that point that I realized, like, the harm that maybe my actions had caused. And so it's really tough for cultural change. And I empathize with the parents, like the last caller, who are trying to make a difference in the world and hold especially elected leaders accountable.
Absolutely. That's a really interesting perspective, Dave. Thanks so much for calling. Because I think... And I think that's part, I mean, this is why I go back to, if you don't have integrated schools, if you don't actually have diversity because of the nature of how people, where people live and how schools and districts and it, overall, Wisconsin's very like predominantly white outside of certain pockets. But this is why having diversity and inclusion classes, teaching accurate history is that much more important. So even for the kids who don't necessarily leave their hometown like Dave did and have other experiences and get exposed to different types of people, still have a chance to not just live in their bubble and kind of just be ignorant to, this is okay. Groupthink, this is fine. How's that for a ticked off tee off?
That was a good start.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about candidate debates, whether they're moot at this point. Todd Alba will be here. Come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. State Department spokesman Ned Price with the latest on the four Americans who were met with gunfire and kidnapped in northern Mexico on Friday.
Two U.S. citizens were returned to the United States. The bodies of two other U.S. citizens killed in the same incident were also recovered.
And one suspect is in custody in Mexico. Many Californians are trying to remove large amounts of snow from their roofs and before a lot of rain falls later this week. KOVR-TV's Tori Apodaca, north of Sacramento.
Low pitch or flat roofs are most at risk, since water and ice will not melt off as quickly. That's why now is the time to clear a path for water to go away from your home.
There have been a few eye drop recalls recently over concerns about bacteria, and it's serious. Dr. Catherine Colby with the NYU Langone Department of Ophthalmology.
There have been reports of people actually losing vision to the point of being blind. I even saw one case report where someone had to have the eye removed.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
Gah, I'm so stressed. Our business is growing. We've got people all over now.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 50 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Just $24.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Find Small Business Calm at ooma.com/radio. That's ooma.com/radio.
Ha-ha! Leprechauns and Wisconsinites have a lot of things in common. We both look good in green. Chicks dig our accents.
You're cute.
And we all love what's on the other side of the rainbow. Get your pot of gold when you sponsor our hourly weather forecasts on your local civic media station.
That's 24 ads per day. One ad every hour right before the latest weather forecast.
And right now, the prices on these premium sponsorships are slashed up to 50%. But you must act before March 15th to take part. Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
My former boss, George Stanley, former editor of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I've told you the story of that my brother and I are fighting over who's going to get our tickets. I think I have claim because I live here.
Exactly.
Right? He's older, but I live here.
Yeah, but that trumps it.
So. It's been decided now. It's done.
I'll tell my parents. That's even more.
You can let him go to one game if he wants.
Yeah, exactly.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
I mean, for heaven's sakes, anybody who's heard Congresswoman Bobart from Colorado and Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, you just have to ask the question, if I'm a Republican, why would I continue to support that foolishness?
Asking the tough questions, searching for the answers we're all looking for. The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 to 11 on Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
It's 4 a.m. and you're sucking baby snot through a tube because she's congested. If you love her that much, love her enough to make sure she's buckled in the right car seat. Find out more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to stop this war. All those cats got to listen to me because I am the judge and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. Set down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law. They better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And for this segment, we're also joined by fellow civic media host of the Todd Alba Show, Todd Alba. What if your name wasn't? You could be like, Thompson, right? And be like Mark Thompson and do the Paul Revere show, and it's like, wait, what's your name? Is it Paul Revere or is it Mark Thompson? Todd Alba, how you doing this morning?
Well, the appropriate name, if it wasn't the Todd Alba show, would be the Gomer Pyle show with Todd Alba.
Exactly.
Just to join you two, I mean, how could I not be good? This is the highlight of my day.
It's been, you've jumped on once between the first time we had you on, before you basically even started your show. Last fall.
Right. We met on air.
And then I think you've jumped on once since then. But, you know, trying to do a little crossover for everyone's show. You're on 8 to 11 before us on WRCE, WXCO. What else am I missing? Amory.
WLAK.
And so I listen to you. I switch between you and Earl in the morning in between getting ready for the show. So check out Todd's show. If you're on the Civic Media app between 8 and 11. But I texted you I'll set this up. So Jane and I, you know, we text at night after the show. As news comes out post 2 p.m., things that we could potentially talk about tomorrow, kind of always wondering what's the lead story going to be to kick, do the ticked off tee off. And I had missed it, but basically, I think tweets had been starting to go around because I hadn't heard it before yesterday, but that Judge Janet Protasiewicz, liberal candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, has basically only agreed and will only agree to one debate prior to April 4th. Whereas Dan Kelly's campaign has said he's ready for any and all forums and debates. And Jane, what did you think?
Well, I texted her last night, Todd, and I said, this is a mistake. I think it's a mistake.
She said it's a bad look. And
now, see, look, this is totally unfair because I love Jane to death, and you're putting me at odds. like it's some sort of a, I mean, I'm already odd. I was on a Luke Mathers show, Dueling Tangents, yesterday, filling in for Brian Kelly, and he asked, how do we determine which stations I'm on and which stations Earl is on? And I said, it's simple. We arm wrestle for it. And Earl has beat me out time and time again on getting Green Bay. And now you're putting me, you know, at odds with the wonderful Jane Matt Nair, which, you know, is tough.
It's not odds. It's just a difference of opinion.
Exactly. And I would love to know, because I think that they're going to use this to run ads saying she's running away because she's afraid to defend her own record and blah, blah, blah. And the smears that they're, I just think this just gives them an opening to do that kind of stuff. And that's why I think it's an error.
I believe that you're correct in saying, as far as for good civics, like for good government, for open government, yes, it's not great because ideally you want candidates to have as many debates so people, the voters, can understand who they're voting for. Just as somebody who, you know, was on the other side of the aisle for a long time in Republican politics and ran a lot of campaigns over the years, I think she's doing the exact right thing from a political standpoint because clearly, well, I shouldn't say clearly, but based on the information I have, she is up in the polling. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that last week, the Terrence Group, a Republican Party polling firm, which I have used in the past, incidentally, they're actually very good. But my sister got the poll, and she's a very savvy poll taker. And so she reported all this to me. They were doing push polling. And for those that might not know, it's when they say, if you knew that Judge Janet did such and such and such and such, would you still be likely to vote for her? So they're trying to influence and finding out what messaging works. So they were, and now WMC, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, announced this morning they're putting over $1 million into the race for Dan Kelly. So they're in the field. They know these things. So my opinion is that if Judge Janet agrees to more debates, she's already ahead of the polling. There's only so much you can say as a judge. It's not like a legislative race where you can get it deep into issues. You know, already Judge Janet's been attacked by the Kelly side for going too far in saying their opinion of saying that the truth, that the maps, the gerrymandered maps are rigged. It's the truth. She's come out and said, hey, I believe in supporting women's health, which essentially means that she would probably, if the case came before her, depending upon how it was argued, could very well vote to overturn the archaic abortion laws in the state that don't even allow women to get abortions in cases of rape or incest right now. So they're already attacking her on that. I'm not sure what she has to gain by subjecting herself because Kelly has nothing, right? So he's just going to spend an hour harping on these things, trying to paint her as, you know, a radical abortion person. Basically, they're going to try to paint Judge Shannon as, hey, we got a setup tent in the Lambeau Field parking lot. Have an abortion before you go into the Packers. I mean, really? I mean, that's the kind of crap they're going to put out there, all right? And then they're going to paint her as, she let somebody off the hook on a sexual assault charge. You know, Judge Janet is going to endanger all your children with sexual perverts on the street. This is the kind of stuff they're going to do, you guys. And then they're going to say, if you elect Judge Janet, she's going to vote to take away all your guns, because they were also testing the polling on that. So I don't know if you're Judge Janet or her campaign, which all that stuff I just said is a bunch of crap. It's not true. But they're going to put millions of dollars out there. And if you stand before Kelly for an hour, he's going to harp on this stuff for an hour. Because they got nothing.
But doesn't that give the other side then the opportunity to do the same thing and bring up all of the things that he's blogged about in the past, which now have miraculously disappeared from the web? It's right. Like, whoosh, where did that go?
I was going to say, I was like, well, not that he has nothing. He clearly has a 5-star SAT vocabulary for sexual libertinism.
I mean, isn't that what campaigns do, though, Todd? You sit down and it's like, what's the worst stuff and how can we craft this to decimate our opponent? That's what it's about.
I think for me, because I would say my instinctual reaction was similar to Jane's, because similar to what you said, Todd, in a perfect world, because this happened in the fall, right? Nationally, all of the major campaigns, most of them only had one or two debates. Senate campaign here, two debates. Governor's campaign, one debate. And then same thing. I mean, Hobbs never debated against, who's the crazy lady from Arizona?
Carrie Lake.
Thank you. See, that's far in my back of my memory at this point.
Boing.
So like, it's a trend in general that there's less debates, which I do think is a bad thing, because naturally a debate stage is an opportunity to have the candidates have less control, right? They have less control over what happens. And at the same time, we complain about, oh, there's not enough debates, there's only one debate, blah, blah, blah. And then the debate actually happens, and the next day, all of us who work in political punditry get on air and was like, well, what did we learn? Nothing.
Nothing,
right? We like, what did they say? They stuck to message. They didn't answer the actual questions. Both sides claim they won, and who cares? And so that's my point, I think, looking at this, is like, yes, it's a talking point for the Kelly campaign. And of course, on Twitter right now, it's flooded with, well, they're just going to cheat anyways. They have all the voters and all the, you know, the votes lined up, and they're going to dump them at midnight and blah, blah, blah. But as far as in real civics, in real knowledge that could be gained from them debating more than once, I'm not convinced anymore that that actually does anything.
But you brought those good points of the Arizona race, and those are legislative, right? Either it's for state, Senate, or Congress, or governor. Those are debates where you can get into and ask candidates specific, you know, policy questions. What would you introduce? How would you vote? Remember, in a judicial race, traditionally, candidates for Supreme Court, and we're one of the few states in America that elects our state Supreme Court instead of the governor appointing and confirmed by the Senate. So judicial candidates have traditionally been reticent to get very far. Usually you ask them a question about abortion, they would say, well, I can't go into that because I don't want to, not perjure, but endanger myself if this case comes before me. So I really can't answer. That's what a lot of support.
Or they just say, I believe in precedent. Isn't that what all three Trump appointees said?
Right. I would apply the law fairly. I would not be an activist judge. I mean, you literally gain nothing. Mm-hmm. And I take my hat off to Judge Janet because, I mean, hey, I don't mean to say that sound this as a negative comment, but Judge Janet has kind of taken a page out of the Trump playbook. Trump changed everything in politics in America. You threw out the rules. So I think to a degree, Judge Janet's like, I'm not just going to be a wishy-washy candidate and say I don't have an opinion. She actually was brave enough to tell the truth and let voters know where she kind of stood on some of these positions. That is not something that is usually done in a Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. So she's already gone further than most judicial candidates for Supreme Court in Wisconsin. I don't think her team or her wants to endanger herself by getting up in front and having to go down this road. And also, she's up in the polls, probably by all numbers. She's already ahead. 4 weeks out, if you're running a race and you're already ahead, it's about maintaining that lead and not exposing yourself or your candidate to make those numbers go bad. I think it's a political move.
No, but that's the thing. It's a political move. We're talking to Todd Elba of the Todd Elba Show, and we're debating whether debates are worth having when it comes to, I guess, really any election, but more specifically judicial elections, because it is a unique situation where, and we've talked about this before, we're one of what, 13 states that elects our Supreme Court justices, and most other places, it's appointments. There's probably an argument on both sides of why one's a good thing and one's a bad thing. But I still maintain that most of us who don't live in the legal world, it's hard for us to have the knowledge base to understand what makes a good judge. Like, I've never been in front of a judge, if I'm being totally honest, like, because I've never been arrested. Put that on my tombstone.
She's never been caught.
Fair.
I once went before a judge in small claims court on a speeding ticket in college, and he agreed that it was a speed trap, and then he charged me the fees for the court fees. I ended up paying more than the ticket was actually going to be. So I was not successful in front of a judge.
But you know what I mean? Because I think that goes back to what you were saying as far as what Judge Janet is doing, which is, as far as politics go, is smart. She is appealing to the issues that people are fired up about right now in Wisconsin. One is abortion, one being fair maps for the people. Because the people who understand fair maps really care about fair maps.
And they get it.
And myself being one of them. Right. And so to appeal on those issues is much more like a political, like legislative campaign than a judicial one. And instead, I was just reading, I think this was in Wisconsin State Journal this morning, as far as the gamble Dan Kelly is playing with his campaign, and keeps talking about how he's a constitutional conservative. And for most people, it's like, what does that mean? Like,
that only to his base, right?
Sure. But even like, is it the Wisconsin Constitution, the U.S. Constitution? Like, I don't know. I know some things. What I know about the Wisconsin Constitution is that we don't have binding referendums. Like, you know what I mean?
For Republican side, usually what that is lingo for means that, oh, I'm going to apply the law. I'm not going to be an activist judge. I'm not going to take over the legislative role. I'll be a conservative constitutionalist. I'll apply the law the way it's written until it doesn't agree with what they actually stand for.
But
isn't
that what Brian Hagedorn is? And then they were so upset with him when he didn't rule in their favor?
Exactly. You got 100% right, Kristen. He was a constitutional conservative, and then all of a sudden he actually applied the law like he said he was going to do and said, no, Donald Trump lost the election, and now they're up in arms. They want to recall it.
Dan Kelly can't trust Brian Hagedorn. I won't endorse Jennifer Turow.
And by the way, Jane is 100% right, Jay. You're right. They're going to attack, you know, Judge Janet for not having more debates. I agree with that. I just think they've calculated and said that message doesn't have the same traction as exposure to issues that they don't want to get into. I think that's just what it comes down to.
All right.
And I'm sorry.
Jane, are you convinced?
We can agree to disagree.
There you go.
I do understand Todd's point, though. I really do. I really do. I just hope that we don't get comfy with that lead in the polls. That makes me twitchy.
I agree 100%. Yeah. I think that they should have done more inoculation ads for Judge Janet earlier. So yeah. I don't know.
28 days away, 4 weeks from today, April 4th. Go vote. Todd Alba, thank you for joining us.
You guys are fantastic.
You're fantastic. We'll talk to you later. All right. When we come back, some news Wisconsin can be proud of. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You vote your win, I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for Pinkney, not for president. I am the judge, I am the judge. Everybody knows that I am the judge. I am the judge, I am the judge.
Hey, Wisconsin, the spring election is April 4th. Make sure you're prepared with an ID to vote. If you have a Wisconsin driver's license or state ID, military ID, U.S. passport, VA card, or Wisconsin tribal ID, you're all set. If not, you've got options. For free help getting an ID to vote, call or text Vote Riders at 866-ID-2-VOTE. That's 866-ID, the number 2, V-O-T-E. Call or text today, 866-ID-2-VOTE.
Douglas LaFollette, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Good to be here, Mike. Across the country, in most every state, the Secretary of State is the person who is in charge of the election. And we've seen lots of hanky-panky in Florida back during the Al Gore elections, in Ohio and Georgia and Arizona and Michigan.
We appreciate you coming around, sir.
Check out the entire podcast library at darnwi.com.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at wesaysaveit.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Weather brought to you by you and your great business. For just $199 a week, this sponsorship is designed to drive traffic to your website.
But the offer absolutely ends March 15th. Log on civicmedia.us/weather. civicmedia.us/weather.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 29 overnight. Under overcast skies, easterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 41. Lows level off around 31. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies expected. 5 to 10 inches of snow Thursday night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. Let it crochet. Single, double, triple, chainy crochet. Yeah. All my pretty girls, let it crochet. Single, double, triple, chainy crochet.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And that was a rap song about crochet.
It was. You can find anything you're looking for.
Just the creative aptitude of the internet and those who contribute to it is unmatched.
It's a constant joy.
It's unmatched. You said we had some feedback?
We did. We were talking about Judge Janet Protasiewicz's decision not to engage in the more than one debate with Dan Kelly. And I think that's a mistake. Our friend Todd Alba thinks it's wise. Texter from the 608 says, I think Janet is being too cute by only doing one debate. It feels like coasting, like what Neubauer did versus Hagedorn.
Mm.
Janet has the edge on the issues, so get out there and show the good things that will happen if she gets elected, i.e. the end of the abortion ban, unrigging the maps, and point out Kelly will allow a lot of Wisconsinites to get screwed over.
And yeah, and the one thing I read is just the intense schedule. Because this is a short... from primary to general, it's 6 weeks. It was 6 weeks. We're 4 weeks as of today.
Yep.
And the amount of events you're trying to do versus... I mean, ultimately, as a campaign, it comes down to a cost-benefit analysis with all of this stuff, I imagine, as far as what...
What's worth it.
What's worth it. Yeah. What's worth doing where you think you're going to get to meet more people, get your message out better. And I agree with you that I think it's, but I don't know. Because it's also like, do debates ever change anyone's mind?
Well, and that's a good point. Texter from the 414 brings up, having a debate is good news and is all that's needed. I think the only people that follow debates today are political junkies. Because real hardworking people have a life to live and don't have much time for debates. The days of debates having so much importance, unfortunately, went the way of the daily printed newspaper.
Yeah, like
that's a good point.
It's a great point. And I feel like even think about the time slot. So the one debate that they are doing is at 12:45 in the afternoon on a weekday.
Are you
kidding? On March 21st. And then
what?
They're re-airing it at like 4 p.m.
It's not going to be a 7 o'clock.
Even the debates last fall, the two Senate debates between Johnson and Mandela, and then the Michaels versus Evers, they were like 7 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
You know, people, like, at that point, people are at Friday Night Light football, right? Like, people are not...
They're out to dinner.
They're not at home like us. Like, I got to talk about this on Monday, yeah. So let's watch.
A sad, pathetic people.
So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think... I agree with you as far as you can't stop pushing.
Don't get too comfy.
But I also just feel like we're going to talk about this more tomorrow with Greg. He's just an awful candidate. And I don't mean because I don't agree with him. And it's just like the mounting information about like the blog stuff and the fact that he worked with Wisconsin Right to Life and the fact that he worked with the Republican. Like there's a lot of stuff there. And then we're going to talk about this article tomorrow, but there's an op-ed in Wisconsin State Journal about basically how he's just a bad legal mind.
Oh, that is an unbelievable piece.
And how even other conservative justices, while he was on the Supreme Court, were basically like writing like dissenting opinions, even if they voted, like, even if they ruled in the same way, they wrote a dissenting opinion because they're like, I got to this opinion in a different manner than whatever argument he just tried to make. Like, I need to separate myself from him.
There are some pretty tasty adjectives describing him in that article and his style, which I think will be fun to kick around tomorrow with Greg.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes those articles, we wait for Greg's
take.
Pointed point of view to talk about. So that'll be tomorrow. But for now, I wanted to end the hour on two stories that we can be proud of and on a high note. The first one being, coming out of Kewaskum, Wisconsin.
Very cool.
Speed skater Jordan Stoltz becomes the first male world champion in three events. Not the first American, the first male ever to win three events in speed skating.
The first male in history.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
And I love, obviously all the Wisconsin coverage came out yesterday because proud, you know, we're proud of our Wisconsin native. But the NBC Sports, like Olympic talk write-up of this, the headline there was, Jordan Stoltz arrives with three golds at Speed Skating Worlds, leaving the Dutch in disbelief. I was like, why specific? I guess maybe it was in the Netherlands, but it was, or maybe the Dutch are like uniquely, usually very good at speed skating.
Well, it's the whole, sure.
Sure. But
the whole skating on the canals thing.
So, and he's only 18.
Wow.
He's a baby.
Wow. That's awesome.
But he, so Stoltz already labeled Wonderkind. And then this is a Dutch word, I'm guessing, Straaljager, which means jet fighter.
Straaljager.
By Dutch reporters. Congratulations, Jordan.
Well done.
That's awesome.
Yes, well done.
And then the other story, I'm a little late to this one.
I love this so much.
But what do you think it takes to be called a crochet prodigy?
And I used to crochet, and I was not a prodigy.
Like, I just, so this is a young man, Jonah Larson, has gone viral because of his crocheting, and he's now made his second blanket for Giannis and Mariah for their kids. It's a crocheted little blanket.
But he's, baby blanket.
But he's only 15 years old, and he lives in La Crosse, and Antetokounmpo is his idol. And in 2021, he gave him a blanket for his son, Liam. And then I think 2 weekends ago, with the help of a lot of Twitter followers.
I bet.
I guess Michael Strahan was also involved.
Really?
But he was able to make sure that Giannis's second son, Maverick, also got a blanket of his own.
That is adorable.
It's so adorable.
And he's like a speed crocheter.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Is that, I mean, because to me, prodigy, like, is it that it's fast? Oh, is it speed or accuracy?
Well, at least in my world, crocheting was a lot more forgiving than knitting, because with knitting, the tightness of the stitches will determine whether or not something is perfectly square or however you want it to be, which is why I always preferred crocheting, which seemed to me be a little bit more forgiving. Although the baby blankets that I made were always not quite square.
Not quite square?
Square-ish.
But were they warm?
They were warm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Yeah.
I'm watching this video now of him crocheting, and he is very fast.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
He's got very dexterous little fingers.
We're going to put a link to this on our show
absolutely.
Notes.
Absolutely. And so he's a superstar in the crocheting community.
Yay!
You know, this is, yeah. So it's just stories like that every once in a while that we just have to remind ourselves that there's still good things happening. It's good things happening in the state, all across the state. And so with that, we wrap up our 11 o'clock newsy hour. When we come back, we will be talking to two people from Clean Wisconsin about the new report that they did publish in January about solar versus ethanol. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Heat, power, and water are things people cannot take for granted. The elderly, disabled, the veterans. With record increases in basic costs of living, people are struggling to keep these services on and their bills paid. If you are in danger of losing heat, power, or water, call 1-800-506-5596 or apply online at heat.help. You may not ask for it, but the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help.
When it's raining cats and dogs, your business can rain profits. Sponsoring the weather forecasts on your local civic media station will get your phone to ring.
Listeners pay attention to weather forecasts, and they'll pay attention to your message.
Act now, because we're slashing prices up to 50% on these premium sponsorships.
But the deals absolutely end March 15th.
Log on to civicmedia.us/weather now. That's civicmedia.us/weather. Sponsoring our forecasts is the Cats Meow.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.